By evening, even the clothes and kids' toys are put away. It's just Martin, the kids, and me, relaxing in the living room. A full moon rises up, so heavy, it is dripping light. A line of deer bound leaping out of the woods, then break to cautious tiptoeing, their hooves nervously crunching the brittle snow. They sense something is different. Humans are here. The fawns and yearlings feel the change in the mature does and pull in closer. The herd cuts across the yard, all eyes on the house, until they are past and into the front field, where they drop their necks and eat yellow clover still green beneath the snow. The elf female stands guard. Martin whispers, his voice deep, "Look, toward the woods, the biggest buck I've ever seen." He is on the edge of the woodlot, half in, half out, framed between two trees. His heavy rack spread wide mimics the massive oak. He turns his head, checking all directions with nose up in the air, and then saunters boldly into the yard, proud, proclaiming his authority as he parades past the house. He takes a position separate from the herd, but watching over. His ears twitch slightly at the sound of fast-hitting feet, but he doesn't send a warning. Coyotes come streaking across the fields, as if we are a magnet drawing them to center. They merge beneath the oak and continue on together, chasing each other around our house. The oak stands watching, silent witness and wise sage, recorder of history. The grazing deer don't even glance up. The coyotes are not their threat. "Prairie wolves," Martin whispers, as they sprint past in a loop, their sharp, erect ears pointing straight up and open, their bushy tails bouncing behind in attack position. Their mangy fur looks mean and piss yellow in the open moonlight, but their long limbs are youthful elastic, strengthened with steel, forelegs meeting hind as they bound in mid-air, lean creatures of the earth pulling toward the sky. The only sound is the coyote's paws treading the snow. It's not a thud, but a delicate contact. The firm push-off is louder than the landing. Each coyote, as it passes us at the window, swivels its head and glares into our eyes. Their round pupils shine greenish-gold, scorching fire. Then it is gone, and another flows into its place, challenging our presence with a defiant stare. I can't count them. I don't know where the line ends and where it begins. Around and around, until they melt into one blurred chain of pointy heads, fur bodies, bouncing tails, and glaring accusations, burning a demand louder than words. Just when we've gotten to the point where we're holding hands in a half moon and asking each other how long they'll continue circling, Eliza's crying and saying, "Forever." Maze is still trying to count them, and Martin and I are pretending this is everyday normal. Then they slow their sprint and gather into a ragged group in front of us. The largest throws its pointed, narrow muzzle to the sky and opens with a tenor scream that cuts through the firmest denial. The group joins, yowling harsh with crackling voices, a torrent of falsetto stabs that pulsates through our bodies and sends cold spasms down our backbones. An urgent, discordant staccato. No Western theory of musical scale applies to their composition. Then, for extended lingering seconds, they merge into a unified chorus, intoning together with sharp, snapping rhythm. If the race was the opening ceremony, this is the public address. I feel pushed back against a wall, facing the ultimate judgment. I know the truth of what they are saying, and it's not convenient. The leader springs high into the air, twisting and snapping, and the others join, all the while primordial voices chanting. We are on the second floor, and they fly up even with the window, snarling with sharp canine teeth exposed. The moon casts their leaping shadows against the house, imprinting their message in brick and mortar. They settle finally onto their haunches and continue to glare, all eyes on us. Their mantra becomes a yammering, swelling low, then growing into a ball. They morph into bullet form and take off again, a smoking ring whizzing around the house. We are caged, prisoners of their burning spiral, wordless and listening. Their message is irrefutable. This was their wild place. They are furious at our invasion. Circling the enemy is an intimidation tactic. I lose track of how many times they loop and keen, their long-drawn wail climbing as it changes from anger to pulsating grief. I stand helpless between their anguish and this new reality. This is a human habitation now, no longer wild enough for a coyote base camp. We have been pushed out of Egan by the bulldozers, and in chain reaction, we are now encroaching upon the coyote's territory. We are the intruders. Then, as if on a signal, they disperse, melt into the night, vanish. It is dead silent. All of nature is standing unified, backing the message. The quiet is the loudest voice I've ever heard. The spokesperson coyotes have spoken on behalf of all. Remember always, the most important law of nature is that we live in relationships. All of life is connected. We must be conscious of how our decisions affect all forms of life.